Okay, well, we are going to spend a little time in God's Word, which is so thrilling to be able to do so. It's nice to be able to gather specifically to get into God's Word. And we're going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm sure you've all seen it, perhaps many times. I've seen lots of different versions of it. The story and the film called Christmas Carol, which usually this time of year you can find it on TV with no problem. With Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, Ebenezer Scrooge, as you know, became very stingy, selfish, self-centered, not enjoying life, unthankful, unloving. But he wasn't born that way, and he didn't start off that way. He became that way. When he was younger, he was a regular dude, according to some of the movies you watch. But he became more and more selfish and self-centered and unloving. And what happened to him is he forgot what life was like when he was young. And he got hardened in his heart. And life wasn't so wonderful anymore. But he forgot the greatness of life. And as the story goes, as you know, the angels came and helped him out, the spirit of Christmas. And showed him what life used to be like, what life is now, and where it's going. And it shook him up so much they realized, what the heck am I doing? And it's interesting to think that little story was written in the 1800s, and you kind of look in the history and think, oh, everything was fine back then, it's just now that it's bad. But, that story, there was a need for people to hear that story back then, where people were getting kind of used and beat up by life. And it did help, I'm sure, correct a lot of people. It's popular because people like to see it. It does something for them. So, not that that's got anything to do with it. I just thought I'd throw it in. No. Now, I wanted to share a little bit about not forgetting God. We don't want to get to a point in our life where we forget about God Almighty. That's a big thing to forget. I mean, we could be forgetful, but that's one thing. There's nothing bigger to forget than God Almighty. And in Deuteronomy, we're going to look at, in verse 9 in a moment, the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses has given Israel a history lesson of what God had done for those believers. And, the great things that he did for them. And in verse 9, he continues with, it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And then in verse, he goes on, shows them some great things, continues great things that God did for them. And in verse 23, again it says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." He's telling them, don't forget. And then in the same chapter, he continues on, in verse 31, it says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forget thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For ask now," I think this is really wonderful, "ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from that one side of heaven unto the other, whether there whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee this great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So he says, hey, just take a look at history. From the first man is put on this earth, has there anything been so great that what you guys just experienced? You know, take heed that you don't forget about that I brought you out of Egypt. Incredible. What an exhortation. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God only gives us these instructions, gave them to Israel, because just perhaps man is possible of forgetting things. Just perhaps. Chapter 6, verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with half thy soul. All thy soul. And with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, all the time you're around your kids, you know, just keep speaking what God's word says, and keep teaching. And thou shalt bind them, now this is referring to God's word, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy houses and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou hast buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Apparently it's available to get so prosperous and be so well taken care of that you forget how that happened. there's a saying in our culture, at least, I don't know about around the world, you know, sometimes people get very popular for whatever reason, whether it's financial or political or whatever reasons. And then they say, you know, and then they get weird. And they say, oh, that person forgot his or her roots, forgot where they came from. You know, they think they're just big shot, and they forgot where, or sometimes you hear the opposite. That person never forgot where he came from. He always stayed humble, no matter how great the world perceived them as. They always stayed humble, so to speak. Well, God's saying, hey, when you get into that land I'm going to give you, and you got all these great things that I gave you, don't forget. I'm the one that gave them to you. Really something. And the exhortation, God kept saying, keep that word in front of your eyes. Put it on your inside of your glasses, put it on your hands, put it everywhere. And we do that. We, you know, we have our own posters, we have pictures hanging on the wall. We throw the word in front of our faces all the time, which is what God wants. Let's go to chapter 8. We're just to keep repeating God's word in our brains over and over and over and over. Chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered, or allowed thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So 40 years they had manna every day, except for the Sabbath. The day before they had 2 days' worth. Thy raiment, which is clothing, waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So their clothes lasted 40 years in the wilderness. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a long time. How about your shoes? Anybody have a pair of shoes that you've been wearing for 40 years and they're still in good shape? And unbelievable. They had all this food given to them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that bring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not let lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. See how not forgetting about God and not forgetting to do the word tied together there. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, and it is as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of your God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. You can go all through the Deuteronomy, and you'll see God keeps exhorting, don't forget, don't forget. And then the opposite of not forgetting is to remember. Right? There was an electrician who used to do work with us, Andy Chapman. Remember Andy? And he would tell me at times, I'd make mention of something, you know, that would make sure he did it. And he goes, I always remember that which I don't forget, and I always forget that which I don't remember. Well, I'm good, he said. But anyway, remembering is basically the opposite of forgetting. So sometimes God says, remember, or he'll say, don't forget. Chapter 24, verse 17 says, and thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hath forgot a sheath in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, and when thou shalt, or thou shalt not go over the boughs again, it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. You know, don't so scour all the food and glean all the food that there's nothing left for those who are less prosperous at the time. You know, there was no welfare program. And that's how people who were without a father or who were without a husband could eat. And, you know, don't be like Scrooge and take every piece and your little Mr. Cratchit, whatever his name was, you know, he's got to eat too, type of thing. So, interesting. Let's go to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. We got Joshua, Judges, a couple books. Chapter 3. And in verse 5, it says, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Pizarites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to be to their sons, and served their gods. They didn't do what they were supposed to do here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. So they got to a point where they did forget. It wasn't a pleasant sight. And then Jeremiah. Now we're going to look at Jeremiah. This is really bad. I didn't even find Jeremiah. If he's got a comment. It's pretty pointed. Chapter 2 of Jeremiah. But God's exhortation is to not to forget him. Not to forget where we were. Chapter 2, verse 32. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. God's like completely out of their thinking radar. It's like not even thinking about them. It's not like, I mean, didn't even, oh yeah, there's a God out there. I mean, just completely forgot about God days without number. It's just not a good spot to be. Psalm 103. So God's exhortation is to remember him, to not forget him, not forget his word. And here's a great truth. Psalm 103, verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, we're just not to forget. And then Psalm 119, this is a great way to live. This is how we want to live, and we do live this way. But we always have to take heed, like it's instructed, it was instructed to the children of Israel. Take heed, you know, this doesn't happen to you. Verse 16, Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. You know, David made that decision. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. Now, God doesn't forget about us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. God does not forget about us. He's got a good memory. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. Says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He will not forget. Whatever it is that we do to serve him and serving the body of Christ, he does not forget that. We might forget. You know, people do things for us and 10 seconds later we forgot. But he won't forget. He is not unrighteous to forget. That's wonderful. If we have an example, there's our example. To not forget. He does not forget. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. I like watching that Christmas story. I know there's, there are, you know, not everything in it is accurate. But I like to see it. This time of year, when it's available to watch, it's a reminder to me to just keep remembering. You know, at the end of the story, I always say, I don't want to be like how that guy got. You know, I don't want to go that road. And so, you know, we need reminders of things to walk his word. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, Ephesians is just an incredible, great revelation to the church. An incredible amount of truth in it. And here's a verse, it's like, wow, you know, we got all these great things, and here we're exhorted and commanded in verse 11 of chapter 2 to remember our past. You know, our horrible past. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands. And that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. We have such great things that God has given us in this administration, and God says, hey, remember you were really a crackpot. You know, you were a horrible person. You were without me, without God, you were nothing. You know, why would God want us to think back to where we were before? There's a profit to it. When you remember, you know, he wanted Israel to remember, you know, one time you were bondmen in Egypt. You couldn't even direct your own life. And I got you out of that. Remember that. If we go back to verse 1 of chapter 2, we see what God did for us. And this is why God wants us to remember this stuff. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, and this is a big ass but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, you know, we were in the ways of the world, and God, because of his riches and love, you know, great riches of love, great riches and grace, love, got us out of it. And God wants us to remember where we were and where we are now. Part of living the greatness of God's word is to remember, you know, one time I was a stinker. One time I was unsaved. I was going to live and die and that's it. But that has changed. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. So you can go all through the Word of God, and God, you'll find that God exhorts or commands or asks or pleads for us to remember him, to remember what he's done for us, and to remember where we've been. Whether it's the children of Israel, the body of Christ today, you can see it all over to God's Word. How do you remember things? It's a good question if God wants us to do it. Or how do you not forget something? Well, one key is repetition. Mm-hmm. Repetition. Now, how many of us, I know you kids aren't in high school yet, so you don't have probably ever had this. How many ever had calculus, math, calculus? How about algebra? How about trigonometry? How about matrix? Matrix, yeah, it's all these numbers. Now, those of you who've had calculus or algebra, you know, there's not just numbers in it, if you remember. There's letters, parentheses, all kinds of signs and gadgets and symbols. And yet, before I got into high school, I remember seeing that stuff and like, what the heck is that? I know what divide and math, you know, I know how to add and subtract. I know what the X symbol is and all that stuff. But what the heck is that stuff? And then when I got into high school and I took that class, I learned how to actually do it. It's like, wow, this is something. If you throw that in front of me now, I can't do it. Because since that class, I've never used it. I've never repeated it. I didn't like it then. And then after the class, I didn't have to do it anymore. And I was sayonara. But I can add, I can subtract, I can multiply, I can divide. Because I do those things. I don't always do it right, but I took a class on music theory. At one time, I knew what all those little marks meant. And I could follow along, and I can actually read it. Today, I just know there are symbols, but I don't remember what they are. And again, because once I got done with that class, and I realized I'm not good in music, that was it. I moved on. So repetition is the key to remembering things. The more you do it, the more you do it, the easier it is to remember it. And so that's why God says, put the word as frontlets before you, write it on yourself, you know, put it on your walls, see it. Because repetition is what keeps that in the forefront of your brain. And thankfully so. If our brains naturally remembered everything that we've ever thought and processed in our brains, we'd be a mess. You know, which information would be like right at the right at the tip of our tongue, so to speak. It would be horrible. Because then it's hard to get rid of all those bad images. It's right there. So repetition is the key to remembering things. And it's always our choice what we're going to put into our brains and keep repeating. And it's interesting here in Peter, as a minister of God, what he's telling the believers in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, we see, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yet I think it to be, I think it meet or adequate, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Chapter 3, verse 1. "And this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. So Peter, by revelation, said, "Hey, I'm going to keep bringing this stuff up, even though you know him, even though you know God's love, even though you know how to get born again, all those different things. I'm going to keep bringing it up." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Chapter 2, verse 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subserving of the hearers." So again, leadership epistle, the idea of putting people into remembrance is brought up. So we don't want to be like Mr. Scrooge and forget about what God has done or what he will do, what he promises. We don't want to be like the children of Israel in Jeremiah's day, where they forgot about God for days without number. It's a long, long time. So, but you know, there's great truths, like it talks about that we're sons of God with power. Do we think about that? That he is our sufficiency. You know, any of the great truths that we've learned through the years, if they're not residing in the forefront of our thinking, then we've been robbed. They're not. They're in the brain somewhere, but if you got to work a lot to go fetch it out, it's not in the forefront of our thinking. This we need to just start keep repeating it. Not like a robot, but it just what we keep doing over and over and over, it seems simple, and it is simple, but it keeps it in the forefront of our thinking. So it's pretty cool. So, you know, even God's forgiveness and his mercy and all these great truths that we've learned through the years, that we just keep going over them in our brain. It's important. You know, there's scriptures that I've memorized through the years. I remember one time I went to say it, and I had to think a moment what it said. I used to be able to say it, you know, forward and backwards without even thinking. And then it took me a little bit, and I was like, oh, that's not good. But it's, you know, we just keep mulling it over. And so like my old electrician used to say, I don't forget anything I can remember. Don't remember anything I've forgotten. So we want to forget the bad things, I guess. Remember the greatness of God and his word. So.